Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at Ethos Training Shy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. I am super excited today to have my good friend and teammate, Scott Gave, join us. He is the owner and head instructor of Fit to Defend Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, and his school is in Lake Bluff. And I wanted to have him on to discuss and talk about tips and tools to become a better coach and teacher, and not just in jiu-jitsu, but in life in general. That's a very important role to play for a lot of people, and being a leader, I think, sometimes can be a bit of a difficult task, and balancing all the different things that we'd have to deal with coming along with that role. So I want to welcome you and thank you for coming here today, Scott.
Thanks a lot, Jen. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Super excited.
It's so great to have you here. I'm like, I know we've talked about this, and it's, you know, such a fun topic. I think we really have a mission, both of us. What we have in common is really being able to motivate and inspire and empower others. I think that's something that we love
100%.
To do.
100%. Absolutely.
So I love that we get to talk about this, and I think it's a really important conversation. But first, I want to get into a little bit of background, and I want you to share your journey on how you even started training jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've been doing martial arts for coming up in 25 years.
Wow.
I currently have four black belts in four different martial arts. And the reason I got into martial arts is when I was a kid, I would worry so much about what people were thinking about me. I created this stomach ulcer. And then I was trying to convince my parents to skip school, right?
And, oh, wow.
And eventually my mom was like, okay, enough is enough, right? And
yeah.
Then she's like, maybe you should go talk to a counselor. The counselor has suggested I do martial arts. So I started in Taekwondo when I was 12. And then pretty much after the first day, I knew it was something I wanted to do for the rest of my life, you know? And then a couple years into that, about 3 years into doing Taekwondo, the owner of the gym asked me if I would be his assistant in teaching. And so I took that opportunity to do that.
That's awesome. So young, too.
Yeah, totally.
That's,
right?
Yeah.
And
great
then
experience.
By the time I was 17, he had left, and I actually ended up taking over my first martial art gym when I was 17. It wasn't my own, but like I ran the whole gym by myself. And then from there, then I started training in other disciplines and then went to other academies. And then after about 3 or 4 gyms of running gyms, that was a good 15 years of running other people's gyms, I decided to kind of get my own thing going. And so what I had done is I had rented out space from other martial art styles of gyms. And then I was building up Fit to Defend Academy. And then this June 11th will be 1 year that I've actually had my own standalone building.
Yeah. In Lake Bluff.
In Lake Bluff, yeah. So,
and I still have not been able to come out and see it, which I need
to. Every time you seem to try to make it, like the roads get closed.
It's like raining and flooded and I can't get over there.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I definitely want to come see the space because the pictures it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice. I've been really blessed with the support of my family, my friends, my students to be able to get to where we're at right now, you know, with the amount of students that we have already, and then the space itself, the layout, and people have donated a lot of their time and effort and resources to let this happen the way that it has.
So that's awesome.
Super excited.
What year was it that you actually started Fit to Defend?
So it's been 5 years ago I started Fit to Defend, and like I said, in other people's martial arts schools. So the way that worked is I went into these martial arts schools and I built their gyms for them, right? And then after after I built their gyms, I built their staff, and it was kind of like I didn't really have a room anymore at that space. And they're like, hey, you've helped us so much. Why don't you start your own program inside of our space? And I said, that's fine. Let's make that happen. And then I did that at two gyms at the same time, and one in Highland Park and one in Libertyville. So that's why I picked Lake Bluff. It's kind of like a halfway
nice in between.
Yeah. And, you know, I think at that time I had close to 130 students, and as of right now we have 110, so a lot of them transferred over, you know, and then just the day-to-day grind.
Right. Yes. I understand that. But that's awesome. You've always, I feel like, and I don't know if this is because you started at such a young age and you had that experience and you were able to be around that kind of environment. But I feel like you, and a lot of it is probably self-taught, but you have a great business savvy and a business sense. And you, I mean, with a lot of these programs, you started a lot of mainly youth programs too, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So when I was 17, I was one of my first gym. It was family classes. Mm-hmm. So it was kids and adults, parents, right? And that's kind of the way that the Taekwondo was kind of laid out at those times. And then I went to another gym that was separate. It was like adult and kids program. And I took over the kids program completely. Okay. And we went from 22 kids when I started to 180 students, kids only, within a year and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
So what I learned I learned that there was a business out there for martial artists in the sense of like business conferences and things. So I would go to these conferences. My first one was on my 16th birthday. I went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I got surrounded by these incredible martial artists, but also that had business degrees. So I started kind of learning their ways I started kind of making it my own, you know, and unfortunately, you have to have that balance between your integrity, right, and the
yes.
commercialism,
right,
and
of
for
course.
Me, that was really, really important, because I meet a lot of martial arts school owners that kind of lose the love of it, the passion of it, and then it's pretty much just trying to chase that money. You know,
right.
And hey, and if that's your forte, then whatever. I'm not going to be sitting back and judge you. But for me, martial arts is what we get the benefits from.
And I think you're very authentic and transparent, and you can tell how passionate you are about the actual, you know, martial art and teaching, which is why I think you have been so successful. I mean, that kind of just comes along with it.
Sure.
And I think people can tell when you're genuine about something versus just trying to chase the dollar.
Yeah.
You know, which is really important.
Yeah. And I think leading by example in any career choice that you have, I think people are more active to want to follow you and do what you're doing instead of, we call it the authority versus influence, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I could tell you to do something or I could do it and then you want to follow my lead, right? And
right.
So I think a lot of people, especially old school, like Taekwondo guys back in the day, it was very authoritative, do 10 push-ups because I told you to, because I'm the master, rather than say, hey, Johnny, let's do 10 push-ups together. Are you ready? Ready? Let's go. And so Johnny is really excited about doing 10 push-ups with you rather than listen to you say, do 10 push-ups. Now.
And that's such a difference in tone.
Totally.
Just, you know, I mean, and attitude.
Yep.
Completely. Before we kind of get into the teaching and the importance of that role in coaching, what is the importance? Because you found martial arts when you were so young, and I love that that was something where you kind of, you know, felt uncomfortable. You were going through your own journey, like at that age, with being uncomfortable or not as confident, you know, in school and whatever it may be. But what do you think? Why do you think it's so important for kids to start martial arts?
You know, I think personally, and this isn't a biased opinion, this is a fact. I believe martial arts is for everybody, but I think it's for the person. It depends on the time of their life when they need it the most.
Mm-hmm.
So some people need it when they're kids because they need to build a foundation and discipline. Maybe they need that support because they're not getting it at home or at school,
right.
Or that confidence builder. And then there's some people that, you know, had a good childhood or you know, were busy in their childhood. And then when they get a little bit older and now they have more stress, more responsibilities, they have to figure a way to get an outlet, right? So, right. Yeah, exactly.
I started when I was 31.
Yeah. So yeah. I do truly feel that it is for everybody, whether whether it be that they want to, they set their goals in martial arts to be a competitor, or they set their goals to be just a recreational trainer, or just to get exercise or stress relief, I truly believe that it's for everybody. Now, of course, the school has to be a good fit for them as well, right?
Definitely.
The environment that they're looking for has to be strong. You know, I used to train at MMA gyms, and the environment was totally different than if you went to a more of a, you know, kind of recreational kind of gym.
Mm-hmm.
So I think setting a good environment is really important too, which is a whole other topic. But I think for kids, I think specifically, besides the obvious of like building core strength and coordination and those motor skills, if you will, I also feel that, you know, building them, their confidence in themselves and their abilities, and knowing that whatever they put their mind to, that they can be successful. And as you know, especially in jiu-jitsu, we are so comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yes, that's right? Yep, you know that's, I mean, the lesson right there.
yeah, and you know, and the more that you are in it in life, mm-hmm. right, the more you face these challenges in life or on the mats, the more comfortable you get at them. And I think when you can get on the mat and you could put yourself in such uncomfortable positions, nothing in the real world is ever going to be as hard as that, you know. And that's just my experience. And I'm constantly challenging myself to do that.
But it's like whenever I feel like I am in an uncomfortable or like a situation where I'm very nervous or stressed out, mm-hmm. I just think like I do jiu-jitsu every day. Like, right. If I can survive that, right. Like this is nothing.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, so that's always a place in my mind that I can go and feel like, okay, that's my like little confidence boost.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, and I think we talked about it off air a little bit, but you know, that's that mindset, right? Mm-hmm. It's like having that that mindset to know that, man, I can do this, you know,
yes.
And it's going to be a little nerve wracking. I'm going to have a little doubt. I'm going to have a little fear, but that's just going to make me stronger when I overcome it,
right? And that's okay.
Sure. And I mean that, you know, I think all successful people, anybody that has opportunities, they weren't really given those, they were earned, whether that be, oh, this, you know, somebody had saw that potential in them and mm-hmm. they're like, oh man, I really see this potential because they're doing X, Y, and Z. So let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
Most people don't get opportunities just sitting on the couch doing nothing. They
right.
don't get that crazy phone call from nowhere. I mean, that'd be great, but it doesn't happen.
I was just having this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. It's like, you know, I do believe that things happen for a reason, mm-hmm. but you do have to put thoughts and goals into action.
Sure.
And then something can kind of come from that, because I feel like you're putting that out into the universe. You're putting that karma yep. out. You're working hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, then you're going to see those opportunities kind of come, but you have to work for it.
100%. I believe truly in many things, but two things specifically is karma mm-hmm. and ambition. I think if you treat people well and you do it for the right reasons and don't expect a reward for it, I think things will work out for you. The universe will always be on your side in regards to that. And then the ambition, meaning like you just keep thriving for whatever you have your mindset to.
Totally.
And you're going to fail. It's a fact. But that's
There's
how you
so
pick
many
yourself
lessons
up.
In that, though. And yeah,
so
and you
true.
Keep going. Like, yeah. you need that failure, mm-hmm. man.
And, you know, back to the martial art thing, you know, it's like one thing that frustrates me a lot is a lot of people think that a black belt in any style of martial arts is kind of like a trophy. But it's not a trophy. It's not like something you go out, you participated in, and congratulations, here's your medal that for your participation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Black belts, true black belts are something, it's kind of like, as I tell my students all the time, it's just a white belt that you've wore a lot to become dirty.
Right.
And then when you become a black belt, now you have the confidence to know, hey, I can do whatever I put my mind to, and now it's really time to really start putting myself in really uncomfortable positions.
There's a whole other level, I feel like, of responsibility
sure.
almost that comes with that, and learning.
Yeah. And, it goes back to leading by example and really being the person that you tell everybody you want them to be, right? It's like I tell you don't smoke cigarettes and then you see me smoking cigarettes. It's kind of like,
right.
It's being a hypocrite.
Exactly.
Hey,
exactly.
Nothing against anybody who smokes cigarettes. It's an example.
But, you know, talking about health, maybe you should try quitting if that's a possibility.
Agreed.
So when did you get your black belt?
In jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
This December will be 2 years.
Okay, awesome.
It's coming quick.
Because you are now affiliated with Seraphin for
yes.
jiu-jitsu with Jeff. So that's
yeah,
awesome. That's how we're all, you know, our connection teammates.
It's so great. Back to that environment talk. It's like, it's so amazing. You know, it's so nice to have a coach and to be able to ask questions or just go there and have an outlet. You know, mm-hmm. when you get consumed in something that you love, everybody, my biggest fear about opening my gym, was that I was going to lose the love of it, you know, mm-hmm. and, because there's so many more responsibilities that you have when you have your own business, as you know.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
It's like, you know, I love doing hair. That's great that you love doing hair, but what about chasing people for money? What about marketing enough? What about just the day-to-day scheduling and X, Y, and Z, right? So that was my biggest fear about getting my own gym. And when I had found Jeff and the team, it was literally refreshing to not have to worry about meeting a certain standard or an expectation in regards to some type of affiliation. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff was very cool about saying, hey, you show me that you're serious, and then I'll invest my time in you.
Right.
And for me, that's the way I work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rather than like some of the other gyms that I had went to, it was kind of like, you pay me this much money and I guarantee you get your belt at this time. It's like, okay, well, I'm glad that's how you do business, but that's not what it's about for me. I'm a true martial artist. It's my life. It's what I want to portray to all my students and everybody around me. I'm not a guy that just says, here's my money, thanks for the black belt, you know, because I could buy one on eBay, you know, if I really wanted to.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Sure.
But I think that you really wanted the guidance and the support.
Sure. Yep.
And I think that is kind of a beautiful segue into, you know, what we kind of think the role of being a good coach and teacher is. You've obviously been successful in that regard because mm-hmm. you have been able to grow multiple programs and mm-hmm. gyms, and you know, also the longevity of it, people have stuck with you and, sure. and stayed, and you've been able to maintain the business. And, you know, something too, like now coming up, you know, pretty much on 2.5 years that I've been teaching the women's program, like that having that passion for teaching is just, that's something that is so fulfilling and, sure. and something I truly love. But being able to help empower others and make them feel strong and motivated and being there for them, you know, as that support is such an important role. But what do you think are some of the most important qualities to have as a coach and teacher?
I think there's a lot, but I think first what somebody has to do is figure out why they want to teach, right? Mm-hmm. Why is it that you're interested in teaching? Is it because you feel like it's going to make you as a better martial artist, let's say, or a better person, right? But I also feel like you have to figure out who it is that has made you, has influenced you to want to be a teacher. And the reason I say this is because sometimes in jobs or careers or day-to-day life, we forget that, right? We go like, mm-hmm. oh man, I got to do this and I got to do this. And then when you get to teaching, you lose track of teaching a great class. Mm-hmm. Because my mentality is I'll teach this class like it's the most important class we'll ever teach. I will teach with patience and enthusiasm. I will lead by example. So that's something I say to myself every single day before I teach. So it kind of gets my mind, right? Mm-hmm. And I learned that from a gentleman, Dave Kovar, whom I look up to very much so. But I think having the right reason on why you're teaching, a reminder, I think that allows you to get your mind right and ready to teach. Because as you maybe have ever experienced before, it's like you have somebody teaching you and then they had a really bad day. And then they come in and they take it out on you.
Right.
It's like, man, well, what happened there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so what happens specifically, let's say, with kids, you know, I feel like building a level of rapport is very important. Mm-hmm. And I think in order to do that, you have to make sure that you're going in with the mindset of, hey, I'm going to be here to help Johnny be the best person he can be. And, you know, so there's some things that I feel that are necessary or necessity in order to build rapport. I think eye contact is very important. Mm-hmm. I think knowing a child's name and constantly using his name. I think proper contacting, so like high-fiving the kid, giving him knuckles, you know, shaking his hand, whatever that may be. But I think letting that student know or kid know that you're there for them. And I think that's so important, especially, you know, because nowadays, the kids have so much stress on them with regards to homework.
Yes,
and then they have a lack of interaction with people because all these tablets and electronics. So I think building, having the ability to let them know that they are very important to you and that you are 100% focused on them and their goals, I think is essential to build that rapport. And, you know, in college, when I went to college, I went to college for exercise science, and I got to train under this guy named Frank Ardito III, amazing guy. And, you know, he had taught us about the circle of learning. And the first step of learning is being ready to learn. And if you're not ready to learn, nobody could teach you anything. My mom used to say,
"That's powerful."
Yeah, my mom used to say, "I could lead the horse to water, but I can't force him to drink."
Right, exactly. Right? Yep.
So I could sit up here and I could tell you, like, you got to do this, you got to do that. But if he's not, if Johnny's not ready
if you're
to
not
learn,
ready.
Go sit out. You know what I mean? Because you're not ready. So. Specifically, you know, people ask me a lot, like, how do you deal with troubled kids? Like, kids are kind of pains in the neck in your class. Personally, we call it pre-framing. So if I know that Johnny is not the most focused kid in class, rather than going into it and saying, man, I can't believe Johnny's here today. Right. What I'm going to do is take Johnny off to the side before class. Say, hey, Johnny, how was your day today? It was good. Yeah, cool, man. Hey, you ready for a great class today? Oh, man, I'm super excited. Great, man. Hey, so my goal for you today is to be a leader in class. Right. And I'm going to bring you up today in the front of the class and I'm going to have you lead the warm up. So you up for that, Johnny? And Johnny's like, yeah, man, I'm super excited.
Oh, rather, I love that.
You know, rather than saying, oh, great, Johnny's here, man. Oh, man, great. You know, like, let's avoid him at all costs. Right.
Right.
He's going to be a pain. And I think that's what people need. People need accountability. And I think Johnny is a troubled kid because he's not getting enough of that at home or at school, or he's getting the wrong attention.
Right.
Like, why are you doing this, Johnny? God, I can't believe you did this again. Go sit in your room, you know, or he's not getting any type of feedback at all, or all negative.
Yeah. Well, in this way, it's encouragement and bringing him in to participate and to help lead.
Exactly.
You know,
and there's other ways. You know, we have terms called spotlighting and highlighting. So let's say, for example, I'm teaching a class and I got a group of kids that are kind of not being as loud as I want them to be, or doing the exercise the way that I want. What we do is I'll just yell out, hey guys, let's see if we could do push-ups faster than Susie, right? And everybody's like, and Susie's like, oh my God, everybody's watching me. I better get going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are some tricks that I like to use when working with kids, specifically troubled kids. You know, just first off, knowing what their goals are, pre-framing them to what you expect, having a standard, and then constantly encouraging them by using their name. You know, high-fiving them. I have a thing that I train my staff on. We call it the three-name rule.
Okay.
So every single class, my objective is to get to every student three times in a class.
Okay.
Okay? So that's just, obviously, if you got 40 people in class, it's a goal that we want to shoot for, right? But most importantly, when we do that, that we're sincere on how we, that we're sincere when we approach our students.
Right.
We don't just say, hey, great job, Johnny, on your kick, and his kick was awful.
Right. You know, no, I mean? Yes, yes. You actually mean it. And it's, you know, you're paying attention and patient.
Yeah. And I think another aspect of teaching, and this is across the board, we're just talking about martial arts because that's what I teach. But I go into a lot of schools, and we call it the school talks. So I go into the classroom and I talk to the classroom for 20 minutes about a word, whatever it may be, like goal setting or teamwork or discipline or control, right? All of those things. And, so what I work with the teachers on is the way that we correct the students. So if let's say that I'm working with you and you're not doing a push-up properly.
Right.
I don't say, Jen, God, I can't believe you don't know how to do a push-up. Will you do it like this, please?
Right.
Because what happens
is... The way you say things.
Yeah. And what's going to happen is mentally, if you're constantly hearing that, you're going to shut us off or shut
like,
me off.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I can't believe it. Like, oh, I'm not doing this right. You know, getting into that negative mindset.
And then you're going to... not only block me off, but now you're going to start second guessing yourself. And as a teacher, our job is to inspire our students and to teach them to be better than us. So we have a thing called PCP, which is praise, correct, praise. So what I do is when I find that you're doing something wrong, I find something you're doing great first. Whether it be just something simple like, Jen, man, I really love your effort, but hey, this is what I need you to do to fix this. And then after you fix it, then we praise you again for fixing it.
Yes,
so
I like that.
It's super important. I'm telling you, it's probably some of the best advice that I've ever gotten in teaching to really not only build that rapport, but maintain that rapport. because, you know, I've had students that have been with me for 15 years. I have students that go away for college, they come back and they visit. And for me, that really is the most important aspect. I mean, if I could make a monetary value based on that, I'd be a millionaire long time ago.
Oh yeah, you know? That's so much more meaningful.
It is, you know.
Those connections and relationships.
And so I think those are some of the most important things, specifically when we're working with kids. You know, and there's like, you know, the environment that you want to set and a lot of other aspects of things. One other thing that I do with students, our teachers specifically, and my students, is we have things called one-word commands.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I say, eyes on who? And everybody says, eyes on you, sir. Right? So it gets everybody present focused on what we're doing at this moment.
Okay.
So, like, if we're working from takedowns,
mm-hmm.
and then we take a water break, mm-hmm. and then we come back and we're going to do some jiu-jitsu techniques.
Yeah.
I got to get everybody back on
to refocus.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So present focus is a very part. Again, mm-hmm. readiness to learn, a big part of that is focusing,
mm-hmm.
right? So we say focus your eyes, your ears, your mind, your body, right?
Yeah.
So we're getting present focus in the moment. And so the way that we do that as an instructor, especially with a group of kids, is we have those one word commands, like what's your quest? To be my best, sir, right? Eyes on who? Eyes on you. There's so many of them, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I absolutely love teaching. It's really funny to me that I feel the most comfortable, when I'm teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's as I was explaining to you before, I feel like every profession or every aspect of our lives, we're characters in a movie. And we have to make sure that we're living up to that role of that character.
Yes.
Right? And getting in the right mindset to play that character is essential, but also having tools to be able to be that best character or play that role the best that you can mm-hmm. is essential. You know, I mean, if you look at the best athlete, or if you look at the best actors or actresses, they're incredibly skilled at being focused and having a role or qualities that they're going to be doing when they play that role.
Totally.
You know, some actors even take it to the point, like Keith Ledger, I believe it was, you know, God rest his soul, but he got so much into that part.
Right.
That it became his real life afterwards.
Yep.
You know, so maybe that's maybe too much to the extreme.
A little too much, yeah.
But I think it's a truly important to do that if you really want to, you know, live up to those people that influenced you and mm-hmm. reminded of why you do what you do, but then also to be able to provide the service, the quality and the inspiration that you need to your students every day.
Well, that's important. I think you really do need to shift your own focus. And like, I love how you were saying before you teach each class, like this is going to be the best class you're going to teach. Mm-hmm. And you're just getting in that zone because all the time, and it's normal. We're human. We have so many things that sure. we have going on throughout the day and tasks and things, but we really want to, I think it's that positive self-talk and kind of hyping yourself mm-hmm. up to be in that moment and be like, okay, let me shake off anything else yep. that happened. But like now I need to focus and be present mm-hmm. for myself, my students, and remember why I'm here and what the purpose is.
And I think that goes with every aspect of your life. You know, mm-hmm. I have kids, right? And so before I leave my gym, I'm driving home, I pull into my driveway, I close my eyes, and I say, okay, Scott, you're going to be the best dad, you're going to be the best person you could be at this moment, you're going to lead by example, because, you know, I want my kids to know the best dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want them to know me. It wouldn't be fair to them if I had a stressful day at my gym, or I got beat up on the mats, to like go home and be like, oh God, man, will you just leave me alone?
Right.
You know, and
sulking.
I'm just going to take an Epsom salt bath, okay? Just please leave me alone.
But I need to relax.
You know, so I think in any aspects, it's very important that we can clear our mind when necessary. And I'm not, I literally do this 5 times a day,
mm-hmm.
right? So like I have my personal thing that I do in the morning to kind of wake up, meditate a little bit. And then, yeah, of course, right? You got to meditate. You got to get
Absolutely.
Your mind right. I'm all about getting your mind right. So, so I do my meditation, you know, and then I do my routine in the morning, and then I got to get to the business stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole nother thing. You know, when you have to reply to an email that somebody is saying something that you don't really follow, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure you take a deep breath. All right.
Breathing.
Yeah.
Very important. We talk about this a lot, but it's like those pep talks and breathing and like, mm-hmm. okay, it's going to be okay.
Sure.
You need to like move through the day.
Yeah.
And you know, I think as far as in business and teaching, patience is a huge thing.
Absolutely.
That we need to practice. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's okay. We are human. And I think showing that natural side of ourselves, like we're not going to be perfect and we're not trying to teach perfection.
No.
So sometimes we are, you know, I think patience can be tested a little bit at times, but it's getting in that zone and focusing on the breath and taking a time out for yourself to be like, okay, let me kind of recollect myself.
Yeah. I think that's essential, but you know, with anything, I think, human beings are based on habits, mm-hmm. right? So I tell people all the time, kids specifically are sponges.
Yes.
They will absorb anything, good or bad, and the content that you provide for them is pretty much how they're going to live the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Right? But I think that we need to is the more we do something the right way, the more that we're going to build a good habit.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get in the habit of getting our minds right and having a foundation or a format of how we run something, even under stress, we're still going to be able to do that without even thinking about it.
Right.
Right?
Definitely.
Now, again, don't get me wrong. Some days are better than others, right?
Of course. But that's an important lesson to teach too. You know, but it is. You're creating that habit and that foundation so that you do have the skills and the abilities to be at your best.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not, you have that and that's part of your routine. And it's like, okay, I can get through this. You know,
yeah.
We are going to have good and bad days and that's part of life. But how do I approach that in the most positive way?
Sure. Yeah. You know, with my daughter, you know, she's a lot like I was in school, you know? When I was a kid, I probably still do, but we had a learning disability. So like I had to have a teacher come in and they took me out of the class and I had to work in small groups and they had to explain things well or differently than they would in the classroom. And, so with my daughter, she kind of struggles the same way as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So what I tell her all the time is your job is to show everybody the best person that I know who you are. Right? Because the minute that you give somebody the opportunity to judge you based on something you're doing wrong, they're going to try to hold that against you for the rest of your life.
Okay? Yeah.
So not that you know, you're not going to make mistakes because we all do, but your job is every day you do anything, take a minute and think about how can I do this at my best ability to show people how great of a person I am? Because my dad says that I'm a great person. Because you are, right? And
mm-hmm.
and I think we get so wrapped up in what other people are thinking about us or what other people expect from us. We got to cut that out. You know, it's like, this is my life. This is my journey. And I want to live it the way that I want to. And having, again, that foundation of what I expect for myself, what I value from other people, is essential for success, for self-fulfillment. My daughter's about to turn 9 in a couple next week actually, and it's hard. You know, parenting is challenging because it's like I heard this thing when I was a kid that you have up until the age of 8 years old to develop your child, and after that, it's pretty much they're going to start. It's a foundation.
Right. Those are the years you have
to
get that set.
Yeah, and my daughter's about to turn 9, so I'm like, man, I hope I did a good job.
Pressure.
Right? Yeah. What do you know about pressure?
Oh my gosh, that's great. I think too, with playing this role of a teacher and a coach in life, not everyone has the, I don't want to say not everyone has the ability, but I think it takes a special kind of person mm-hmm. to play that role.
Sure.
And, you know, to be a great leader. And, you know, some people don't want to step into that role. So, you know, and we even see it in jiu-jitsu. People want to be athletes and compete, and that's their main focus.
Sure.
And I was talking to Jeff about this too. And I think it is encouraged, but you know, just because you're a world champion doesn't always mean you're going to be the best teacher.
Mm, not at all.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who, and I think having the balance of, you know, you've competed and you've had that experience, but some people have just a natural knack for teaching.
Sure.
And to encourage and develop your students to step into that role also, I think is super important.
Yeah. And again, I think you're going to be more successful in having your students want to teach if you've made a real difference in their lives.
Yeah, and led by a great example.
Totally. And leading by example, because they're going to start believing like, man, this person has really changed my life. Maybe I can really change somebody else's life.
Yes.
Right. And that's what I was saying at the beginning of our talk, right? Is you got to remind yourself of why am I doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and if you can't remind yourself of why you're doing it, or you forget why you're doing it, your lesson plan, your approach is not going to be as strong,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to become complacent.
Yes.
And then before you know it, you're just going to be kind of just surviving the day.
Right.
Right. I think having certain qualities is essential. Right. I tell my student, my staff, right? Like, we teach every class to be the most important class we'll ever teach. We teach with patience and enthusiasm. We lead by example, right? So those things that I say, but then also, like being on time is important. There's so many of them that I say. Right?
There's a lot,
but being personable and not personal is very important. So like, hey Jen, how you doing? Nice to see you. How was your day today? It was great. Perfect. That's great. So that's personable,
right?
Rather than personal, like, hey, you want to go out and have a drink and you want to hang out, because there's a fine line that we need to not cross as influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Because when your students see you on a different level like that, then they're not going to respect you in the same regards.
100%.
Okay. It's kind of like having a coach that you look up to, and then all of a sudden he gets really drunk, right? And then he acts like a fool,
right?
And then you're like, oh man, I didn't see him like that before.
Yeah. And then you're looking at them in a different light, and it's a little like, okay, you know.
Totally.
But yeah, I think that's a very important thing to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you do want to be, you are there. I feel like you step into this role of being there for your students pretty much on and off the mats,
mm-hmm.
and always knowing that you can, you know, go to that person for help and guidance is super important. And when you I think you have to maintain a certain, I don't want to say not be who you are, like, mm-hmm. authentically, but I think when you step into that role, there is a little bit of a responsibility to like uphold your character.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we talk about character, but like we had said earlier, like not like your personal character, but also the character that you're playing. Like,
yes.
when a student comes to you and they ask you about life and, you know, suggestions about what they should do,
mm-hmm.
you're still playing that character. You're still playing that role. So, you know, don't lose sight of that,
mm-hmm.
right? Just because they're asking you something that maybe you're not specifically teaching in that class, they're still looking at you for, you know, some type of feedback, mm-hmm. some type of guidance, because they look at you like that, right? And it's that influence, man. We have to constantly influence our members, our students, our community to thrive, to be the best people they can be. And it's so important, and more now than ever, we need that. So I think also, you know, creating an environment within your business is essential for success.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I just know, like, even being at Jeff's, I mean, first of all, Jeff, you know, he's like my brother,
mm-hmm.
I have to say, but like, he's that person, you know, that I know I can always go to, who will always believe in me, have mm-hmm. confidence in me. And if I'm unsure about something, you know, I know that I can get an honest response from him and, mm-hmm. and, you know, the feedback that I may need. So that's just, you know, he's a great teacher and coach and person in general, but he's created such, you know, an amazing environment too. And I think when you have that, it almost doesn't leave room for people who might not fit in, or kind of have maybe a negative energy or vibe. It's not going to last that long. Like, he's really, you know, set the precedence of what the expectation kind of in the gym,
mm-hmm.
even if it's not, you know, verbally, but silently, just by example.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so I think everyone kind of has that same vibe and energy and loves that laid back feel, but it's also a very safe, positive environment.
Yeah, I think he does a remarkable job in many aspects of the way he teaches. But I think where he does, for me personally, like I send him messages, right, mm-hmm. about things that are going around the gym, and just to kind of get feedback, you know.
Right.
So far, 100% of the time, we've actually agreed.
Yeah.
Right? And it's been really refreshing to have somebody that I can ask questions to. Like, you know,
yes.
because as you were saying, you know, we have self-talk, like negative talk, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you start contradicting or second guessing what you're about to, what you think that you should do. So it's good to have somebody that you can rely on and to be honest with you, you know, like if I'm being a jerk, he's going to be like, sorry, man, you're being a jerk.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
He's going to be honest and let you know, you know, because he cares about you. You know, right. It's that there's that primary focus.
And caring and being sincere are those qualities that are essential to be a great coach and to make a real difference.
Mm-hmm.
But as you had said earlier, you know, I know a couple of people, I know a lot of people that are like world champions in, let's say, jiu-jitsu. But as you had said earlier, that doesn't mean that they're going to be great teachers because I find that you know, competing is very selfish, right? In the sense of it's for you and you want to prove something to yourself, whether because you're insecure and you want to prove to yourself, hey, I can do this, or you just like that outlet to beat up people, right?
But, well, it's a journey of self and,
sure.
and kind of understanding what you're capable of and kind of pushing yourself in a different sense.
Yep. And I think people do it, you know, obviously for the team too. Like, you know, I want to show that my coach is doing a great job and compete and win this tournament, blah, blah, blah. Teaching, on the other hand, is completely selfish.
Selfless.
There we go. That's a big word, right? So, because yes, you get gratification of seeing a student improve and get better and it makes you feel good about that. Right. But, you are putting 100% of yourself into your student, right? So one of the things that I tell for myself and I tell the staff is that I'm going to teach all of my students to be better than me. I'm never going to hold anything back from them. I'm never going to say, oh, no, you have to wait until 5 years from now or until I get your money at the end of the month.
Right. right. To learn that secret.
Yeah.
You know?
Got that Chinese secret coming
move.
Your way. Yeah. So to be able to give everything that you know and have a format to be able to convey that message to everybody, which kind of brings to the next thing is like, you know, we have so many, 3 different styles of learning, right? And people learn differently. So
yes,
what we have
absolutely.
To do is we have to make sure that we're conveying our message that everybody on the mat can learn.
Mm-hmm.
So I call it the triple D's, right? So it's details. So I'm telling you what you know, the details of the move, and then
break
I'm going to demonstrate it so the visual learners can learn, and then we're going to drill it for the hands-on people.
Yes.
So we call it the DDDs, or the triple Ds. So it's details, explain it, demonstrate it so visuals can learn it, and then drill it so we can get it, build that habit, build that muscle memory, and then those people that don't listen, that don't watch, they can actually physically feel it.
Right.
Right? And, but yeah, so I with Jeff's, I think he does a remarkable job on that too. You know, he can, I can watch something that he's teaching. But the way that he explains things, he simplifies it that everybody in the room can understand it. And then he's so clear on his message and specific on the techniques that you're learning something like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Like I've seen that, you know, that triangle choke hundreds and hundreds of times, but I never really understood the angle specifically or keeping my hips flat on the mat or whatever it is.
It's all in the details, man.
It is.
And that's something like Jeff and then, you know, having Ilya as a coach too and like
Ilya's
passed
great,
on
right?
like through me, I just find myself, you know, teaching and being very detail oriented because I just think that makes such a difference and it's a beautiful combination, you know, of how they teach.
But then there's a devil advocate to that, right? So there's some people that, you know, the class is 45 minutes and man, you talk for 35 minutes, man. Like, come on.
Well, in a simplistic way, you have to balance it.
Yeah.
That's definitely important.
So, you know, I have a lot of coaches that come by the gym and they help out with classes because they want to add that to their experience of jiu-jitsu. Well, what they don't realize is that teaching is a whole nother world. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And having meetings with them and talk to them and give them honest feedback is essential.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can take that feedback well, and some people are a little bit more hesitant. But I think I call it the 2-minute rule, right? I want to explain, show you, and get you drilling within 2 minutes, right? For every technique.
Right.
Right. I don't want to spend 10 minutes talking, especially with kids. Oh my gosh.
No.
Never. Right. So 2 minutes is max.
Yeah.
Right. That's why I should be showing you the technique. I should be explaining the technique. And now we're going to get to the mat. We're going to drill it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing with lesson plans in school, right? If a teacher is sitting at the board and overly explaining things, you start trailing out, and then like, oh man, you know, and then losing that present
focus.
There we go, right? So getting back to that readiness to learn. Just because I've established readiness to learn doesn't mean I'm going to maintain it for that whole lesson plan.
Right.
And that's what those one word commands are. Eyes on who? Eyes on you, sir, because I'm losing your focus. I need you back on the same sheet of music.
Yeah.
Because if not, I'm not going to be able to give you what you came here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think, you know, with so many tests that are going on specifically in schools, the question is are you preparing those students properly to take those tests? Or are you just cramming those tests down those kids' throats because it's a mandatory requirement.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's so important to have a good environment, to pre-frame our students, to make sure that we're all on the same sheet of music, but also make sure that we're triple D's, if you will, right? And
yeah.
keep it within a reasonable time frame.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And being consistent. I think people appreciate consistency
yeah.
so much, and knowing what they can expect and knowing what they can get and having that balance of everything. I like the balance of the three D's, but it's like, you know, that way everybody's getting a little bit of something, but staying in that, you know, format, I think is good, so that, you know, I just think you can build that with consistency. Everything is consistency.
Yeah, I totally agree with the consistency.
You know,
in our own lives, right?
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
We lose the consistent, we lose the habit, we lose the habit, then, you know, there's good habits, there's bad habits. It's one of those two.
Right.
I mean, like,
right.
Which one are you going to go for?
Yeah.
I think there's so much to teaching, and it's a true art to teach. And just like with jiu-jitsu, I feel like I've learned more as a black belt in the last, coming up on 2 years in December, than I ever did in under belts. And whether that, I give a lot of credit because of Jeff and the team that we have, and his ability to convey his message and understand, like, so I train with Jeff. I try to at least every Thursday, I try to meet with him. We do a private or whatever. And, but what the way that I learn would be different than the person before me would learn. So the person before might say, come up to him and ask him a bunch of questions and you know, want those fine details. The way that I learn best is I like to get on the mat and train. So Jeff and I, hey, what do you want to do today? Let's just roll, right?
Right.
So then we roll, and then in the process of rolling, he'll fix you.
Right.
Right?
Right. So things come up.
Yeah. It's really cool to have somebody that can do those, to understand his student. And then that goes back to knowing their goals and how they learn.
And how they learn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Everybody is different. Everybody has different goals, and really being able to adapt.
Yeah.
I think because you are, you know, if you have privates or different students in the class, like, you have to adapt differently to everyone, and kind of step back and see the room and understand who you have, you know, and shift that. But it's like, yeah, everybody wants something different. Everybody's very individual. And, you know, I mean, I think you learn so much about yourself as a teacher, and you learn, you know, you even learn more, I think, in jiu-jitsu. Like, I feel like I've learned a lot more just in the details, because teaching somebody something, even if it's something that's not your forte, like, I can't just teach everything that I love,
because
there's different players that are, they have different body types.
Yep.
Like, I need to kind of give a nice broad, you know, understanding of jiu-jitsu and teach things that I might not do all the time, but I need to be comfortable teaching it.
So I have this analogy. It's, you're like a chef, right? And you have to be able to serve everybody a bunch of food, because people like different types of food, you know, and you gotta, man, I don't like sushi, but here you go.
But here,
by
right.
the way, I love sushi, but I'm just giving an example.
Totally.
Yeah.
So it's just adapting to everybody that's different, I think, and that just says a lot about you. And I think you can hone in on that skill over time. And, you know, I'm lucky to have had the support, you know, and the belief in me to be able to start teaching it, you know, blue belt, and, you know, now through, like, purple. But just that experience has been, you know, incredible.
Yeah. And I think that there's different levels of teaching as well, you know, like, so you can, there's teachers that can, like, specifically in jiu-jitsu, right? Like, there's teachers that can run classes. There's teachers that can, get students ready for competition. And then there's a sideline coach, like that are teaching people when they're competing.
Right.
Right. So for me personally, that's like the one that I've been trying to focus on the most, mm-hmm. is like being a sideline coach to somebody competing, is way different than running a classroom.
Oh yeah,
of students,
for sure.
You know, so I think there's always room for improvement.
Definitely.
And for every aspect of teaching, but then always go back to the basics, mm-hmm. you know? So actually currently at my gym now, I run a 6-week leadership training course, and I teach my students, the kid students, how to be leaders in the school. So this is week number 3 this Saturday, and so the first stage is having a good introduction, right? So we kind of role play these things on how to be confident in mm-hmm. the way we approach our students, have that eye contact, that proper contact, right?
It's all just of like networking, things. Like yeah. just having your, you know,
totally. And
commercial
and then,
for yourself.
And then from there, the next stage is, okay, now that you've had a good introduction, you have the confidence to convey your message. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's teach this person something that you already feel comfortable doing, right? And then there's, we have a thing called the coaching alphabet. Right.
Oh.
And it's so funny because every word, every letter in the alphabet has a positive word. Mm-hmm. Right? Come up with it. Right. So I have a coaching alphabet, and the homework for my students this week is to come up with 3 positive words with, you know, 3 different positive words. Mm-hmm. Awesome, gnarly, vivacious. Right.
Yeah.
Okay? So when you're teaching, instead of saying, awesome job, Jen, awesome job, Johnny, awesome job, Susie, it loses the meaning to that word awesome. Mm-hmm. But if I say gnarly job, Jen, man, vivacious job, Susie, God, I can't believe you did that. So great, Johnny. Right. It gets that environment of the gym. Mm-hmm. Everybody's excited to learn. And you're building that rapport, right? You're
right.
Constantly building that strength. But yeah, we call that the coaching alphabet. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome. I just love, I think it's just incredible that you know, and I want to kind of talk about all the programs and the classes that you do offer at Fit to Defend, but that you pay it forward and give so much back mm-hmm. into just helping students and leaders and teachers just be like the best version of themselves and be able to go out in the world and kind of show that example. Like having programs like that and leadership programs, like I know and I see the things that you do and offer, and it's very unique and different than a lot of other gyms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So kudos to you for that, because I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
Like you're spreading and sharing that love, mm-hmm. definitely, and just helping future leaders and people, you know, be kind, be good people.
Sure.
In general.
Well, you know, it goes back to goals, right? So yeah. Like what is your goal? Like you could just teach and that'd be fine. You could just compete and that would be fine. But you know, so I'm gonna tell you a goal of mine, and I don't tell very many people. Now I'm telling a lot of people, but here it is, right?
A lot of people, here we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, right, here we go. So when I die, I wanna have 10,000 people at my funeral that I made a real difference for. It's crazy, right?
It's 10,000, not crazy.
10,000 might be a big number, but that's what I thrive for every day. And I do it sincerely because I really want to make a real difference. Mm-hmm. And leading by example is the number one only way that you're going to make a difference. Okay. And I feel what also it does is it makes me accountable for my actions.
Yes.
Right. So if I tell you that I want to do this, if I know that this is what I want to do, and now I'm telling everybody to do it, I better be doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because if I'm not doing it, nobody
people are going to look at you. Yeah. They're going to be like, what?
Right. And then they're not going to do it.
Right.
And then you're not making a real difference. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, with the internet specifically, you know, everybody is willing to jump on you when you did something wrong. Right. But if you're doing something the right way, it takes a lot more work.
Yes, it does. Right?
You know what I mean?
It does.
A lot more work. So the internet is a blessing and a curse. But so what I'm adamant about is, you know, I try to set up a schedule for the year, the best of abilities. Right. And I kind of lay out different events that are going to mm-hmm. make a real difference. And I think we get so caught up in what we don't have, we forget what we already have and what we can give back, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's kind of my mission. That's kind of my vision. And as I was telling you before off the air, I feel, so in martial arts, only about 3-4% of the population will train in martial arts. Mm-hmm. So that's the most amount of people that I'll actually be able to change their lives. 3-4%. Mm-hmm. And that's amongst all the gyms within 10-mile radius.
Right.
So let's say that I have 5 gyms in the 10-mile radius. between us five gyms, we're only going to be able to touch between 3 to 4% of the population. Mm-hmm. So my next step is, in order to get to the next level of inspiring more people, I have to get more into, you know, motivational talks or life coaching, or, you know, getting to school districts, or, you know, as we had talked about before, I got into, I had the opportunity to speak at this place in North Chicago last week to some high school students and talk to them about, you know, the mindset gap, if you will, and getting out of your comfort zone and knowing that you're going to have fears and face your fears and be comfortable being uncomfortable, stop self-negative talk, right?
Yep. So, all very important topics.
Yeah,
and congrats on that, by the way.
I appreciate that.
An awesome...
And then I got this opportunity to be here, right? So I'm super excited about taking the next step to make a real difference. And don't be fooled that just because somebody wants it doesn't mean they're not uncomfortable doing it. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel
you. Yeah, I couldn't imagine, you know, being at the level of like a Tony Robbins, you know, speaking in front of tens of thousands of people, you know, and it's like, holy cow.
But, you know, you adapt to that. I mean, obviously that grows over time and you get to that, but it's like you take each new phase. You have to be present in that moment, I think, instead of overwhelming yourself. It's like, okay, I'm here, that pep talk just before you're teaching a class. You're doing a motivational talk in front of, you know, 500 people. Then it's like 1,000, then it's 10,000. Yeah. You know, it's that same kind of like, you can do this, you've got this. But I think showing, you know, you are human, this is a step that you're taking in a direction towards a goal that you want to achieve. And of course, it's going to be scary. But you know what? You go for it and do it. Mm-hmm. And that's where all that growth happens.
And you know, then you got to the thing that also is essential for success is balance, as you said earlier, right? So like still be able to balance being a great husband and wife and father and mother, you know, your family life, and then your personal life, in the sense of like if you're going to college, right? Or and then you have your business life, and now you're going to be adding on this new aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having the ability to balance all of those things is the only way you're going to be able to be successful in all those aspects. What I've come to realize, and I've witnessed through people, is that we get ultra focused on one aspect and we forget about everything else. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And those things start suffering.
Yes.
So in martial arts specifically, you know, from my experience, you know, when I was a kid, you know, the divorce rate in martial arts careers is very high.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because the amount of effort that we have to put into our students, and then the hours of which we work, you know, because we're not getting, you know, we're not done teaching classes until what, 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So it does play a toll, but you got to make sure that, you know, when you're home, all of my attention is at home.
You're home.
Yeah, I'm
yes.
home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've probably seen my post, but, you know, once a week I go to a place and I just shut everything off and I just focus on that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the class, as we talked about many times. But yeah, balance is essential. You know, it's food, balance your food, balance your life, balance your stress.
Balance and organization.
Organization, for sure. Well, don't look at my notes because they're like all over the map.
But it's planning and like you said, you know, you're going to let, when you have a goal and you want to achieve something, you have to break it down to, you know, daily steps, monthly, weekly, monthly, yearly, you know, because then those things are possible.
Sure.
And then you can balance everything around it. And, you know, and being present in each one of those roles, it can be done, and it may be a struggle sometimes, but it is definitely something that's possible.
Sure. And, you know, I also think, going back to, you know, all the things that I do, it's also to kind of change it up a little bit, right? You know, sometimes we get too comfortable in what we're doing and we get complacent, right? So we have to change it up a little bit.
Just step out of your comfort zone, man.
Totally. So I have a thing, we call it hidden repetition in my gym. It's really fun as an instructor because, you know, when I was doing Taekwondo, I ran Taekwondo gyms for about 8 years. And then I went back to running a Taekwondo gym in the process of opening Fit to Defend. And it was funny that the art of Taekwondo, the way that they ran classes, had not changed at all in like 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what I had done is let's say that you work on a form. Like a form is a set, a routine that they do in a Taekwondo or karate mm-hmm. system. So this is an example of how you would do hidden repetition. So let's say that we're doing a form and the kid knows the form really well. Well, if you tell him to keep doing the form, he's going to get complacent, bored, and like, oh God. So why don't we have, I like Johnny. We're going to use the name Johnny again, mm-hmm. right? So we have Johnny doing his form. Okay, Johnny, instead of facing north, I want you to face south when we start, right?
Uh-huh.
So, okay, Johnny, so now what I want you to do, Johnny, is I want you to focus just on the stances. I want you to put your hands behind your back. So I want you just to focus on the stances. All right, Johnny, let's just focus on the hand position. So I want you to stand in a thing called a horse stance, and I want you just to do the hand movements of the form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Johnny, now what I want you to do is I want you to answer these questions while I'm doing the form with you. So you got to keep going, though, okay? Where are you from? How old are you? What's your favorite color, right? So now you're getting the mind and the body working separately.
Yes, like little changes, throwing different things
totally.
At them. Yep.
And so let's put in perspective of jiu-jitsu. So I can, okay, Jen, we're going to work on this guard pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we can work on that a lot. Okay, Jen. Now the person on the bottom is going to try to resist a little bit when you try to pass that guard.
Right.
Okay, perfect. Now, Jen, we're going to free spar. And all I want you to do is focus on passing the guard today.
Yep.
Right. And no matter what, I don't want you in your dominant position. I want you to always get back from that guard,
mm-hmm.
right? So these are hidden repetition drills, not only to develop your student to be better, but it's also to keep them focused and engaged and excited about the class.
Yeah. Right? And looking at things from a little bit of a different perspective.
Yeah, right. And again, that's all about the environment. That's all about the format of the class. We call it the flow, because keeping a constant flow into mm-hmm. class is really important too.
Yeah.
And there's just so much to it. I could, so much. I don't even know where to start.
I know. I'm like, there's so much we could talk about. Like, as we're coming up on our hour already, I can't believe we've been talking that long.
Like, I felt like it was only 15 minutes.
So I'm like, we might need to do a part two. Is that, that's what I feel like with so many of my guests. I'm like, oh my gosh, we could keep talking forever. Yes. That's real. But with that being said, I do want you, what's your website where everybody can find all of the classes and everything that you have and programs that you offer?
Yeah. So we have a website. It's, so it's, www.fit. So it's FIT, then a slash, then TO, which is two, and then dash defend, DEFEND. .com. Well, I'll say that 10 times fast. So it's fit to defend Academy, is the website. And then on Instagram, where it's just fit to defend Academy, one word.
Mm-hmm.
I post every week. We post a word of the week, like a life coaching kind of word of the week. And then we do pictures and different events that we're doing.
Yeah. But, you do some great motivational stuff on there too. So everybody should follow. It's amazing, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
I appreciate that.
Is there anything else that you do want to add? Before we say our goodbyes.
I will say this. I think in life, if you want people to take you serious, you got to take yourself serious first. And I think as a coach, as a professor, as a teacher, you need to take your job very serious. And that's on and off the mat. That's in and outside of the classroom. And remember that you have the ability to make a true difference. And if you don't take it serious, you are going to mislead somebody and you're going to give them a false sense of reality and hope, and shame on you, because the greatest minds in the world are only taught by, only know that stuff based on the person that taught them those things,
mm-hmm.
right? Or gave them the motivation or the inspiration to want to get to the next step or to make a real difference. And so for all the teachers out there, I commend you for wanting to be a teacher, but make sure that you're living up to that responsibility and to that role. And to remind yourself of why you're doing it, because if you forget why you're doing it, then your love and your passion, your heart is not in it. And your student then isn't benefiting from what you need to be doing or whatever you're offering, whether that be academically or martial arts or whatever. So that's my word of advice. And on top of everything else that we talked about, be true to yourself, have values, and don't worry too much about what other people think about you. Get feedback. But take back the feedback that really matters to you, and that's going to help you grow.
Definitely. I recently just had one of my Motivational Mondays talking about so many of my clients were just focusing on the things they weren't and comparing themselves to others. And I'm like, you need to start focusing on the things you are.
Yeah.
You totally. Know, the amazing, wonderful things that you have to offer the world. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we have to stop kind of looking at everybody else, because you don't know what everybody else is going through.
Right.
And it can be portrayed a little bit differently. So it's like, just keep doing you, man, and keep pushing forward. And, you know, so grateful to have, you know, such amazing coaches and teachers. And you can tell it does make a true difference when you know that somebody is incredibly passionate about what they're doing and wanting to, you know, help change other people's lives.
Yeah. And evolution is based on, you know, growing and jiu-jitsu specifically, as I said, I want to teach all my students to be better than me. Well, if you're not providing that level of training, then they're never going to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and put your ego off to the side for a little while.
You know? Yes. That's how you make a real impact.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come here today. This is a great topic, so important. And all you guys, you know, if you have any topics or guests that you want to hear from, you can send me a message on my Facebook page, Gen Z, or on Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast. I will talk to you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.